Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with all of you. I'm thinking we're having a little bit of an issue here. Let's see what we have going on. Okay, so I think we're already on the air. So hold on one second here. What did we do? I always do stuff like this. What is that? Well, anyways, good morning. I think you can hear me out there. Area code 479903. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. Can you hear me okay? All right, 605. Good morning, South Dakota. How's everyone up there today?
South Dakota, he's talking to us. Well, what is? Hello.
Hello there, Kathy. Hello. How are you today?
I'm not well at all, Vincent. I'm
What's
on
the
my
matter?
Way to. It's this thing in my bronchial tubes. I don't know. It's not good. We're 300 miles from the doctor's office that I just talked to in Sioux Falls, and they're going to try and get me in, but I need prayer immediately.
Okay, well, let's get praying right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your divine touch. Lord, we've asked before, we're going to ask again that you heal Kathy in Jesus' name. And everyone that is hearing this prayer right now, we come into agreement that whatever yes. is going on in your bronchial tubes, whatever's going on in your lungs, in your respiratory, right now, in Jesus' name, come under the divine order of the word of God, and you be healed in the name of Jesus right now. We rebuke
yes.
the root cause going on in your lungs
yes.
right now. We rebuke right now the opposition against your respiratory. We rebuke every demonic wicked spirit. We rebuke the root cause, and we minister the blood of Jesus over your body right now. And we condemn the work of the adversary. Satan, loose Kathy right now and set her free. Loose her in the name of Jesus. Now, Holy
yes.
Spirit, do your work. Do your creative work right now. We thank you that you are the creator, and we thank you for the recreation of her lungs. We thank you for the comfort. We thank you right now for strength and oil and the flowing
yes.
and the fluids to work in the name of Jesus. And by the very finger of God Almighty, just touch and undo the affliction off of that
yes.
body. Now, loose in the name of Yeshua, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy
Praise
Spirit.
God. I needed
Thank you,
a Lord. Touch from the finger of God.
From the finger
yes.
of God. Undo this affliction right now in Jesus' name. Undo this affliction.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Turn this to a miracle. What the enemy meant for harm,
yes.
turn for your good. And just begin to worship God, Kathy. Just begin
Hallelujah.
To sing praises to his name. And we are going to praise God with you. Hallelujah. We're going to praise
God.
Lord. We're going to worship you, Father. And thank you right now for
Hallelujah.
That miraculous healing in her body.
Lord,
in the mighty
God.
Name of Jesus, we
yes.
thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We
thank
you, Father
you, Father
God.
Thank
glory,
you, Father.
Glory, glory
yes.
to your name.
Amen
we love you,
and amen.
Thank you.
Praise
amen
God.
And amen. Yes, your life has more meaning than to be afflicted by the devil. In the mighty name
amen.
Of Jesus Christ, be healed. Hallelujah.
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 To God be
All
the
right,
glory.
So,
we'll call
yes.
you back with a good report. Hallelujah.
Yes, you will. And we're going to continue to pray, Kathy. God bless you. Thanks for,
amen.
You know, that was just the Holy Spirit right there. You know, I started the program, I thought we were off a little bit because I hit the wrong button and it caused me to talk directly to you, and here you are on your way to the hospital. So God is good. We're in agreement.
Yes.
Jesus is Lord.
Good.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. The finger of God. One touch from the master's hand. That's what
Amen.
I was wanting.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless. Thank you.
God bless
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye, Kathy. All right, if you're just joining the broadcast, that was absolutely amazing. I thought I had, on this Monday morning, hit the wrong button and I got everything all messed up. And so I saw their phone number, Kathy and Ken, and I thought, well, let me see if they could hear me. And sure enough, Kathy was on her way to the hospital. They're probably going to have to make a U-turn here any minute now because everything's coming back into divine order. And so maybe today you need a prayer in your life, a miracle in your life. And right now, dear saints of God, let us just speak the word over Kathy right now that she is healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we just rebuke the work of the devil to steal, kill, and destroy. And we know that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to destroy the works of the devil. And though these principles be elementary and this truth be at the foundation, it is the power of God unto salvation. So, and again, what is it? What is the warfare for? Why are the saints of God being afflicted? Well, you know what? Everybody gets afflicted in this world. Jesus did not say that there would be no affliction in this world. He said that there would be great affliction. And he said that the winds would blow and that the waters would flow and that they would just be, coming to destroy. But the house that is built upon the rock will stand. And Kathy is going to stand because she has built her life upon the word of God. And so when the storms of life come and when all the pressure comes and with all the persecution and the attacks of the devil come, there may be a little bit of a, adjustment necessary and there's force against it, but there's a stand. And that's what you and I are called to do, is to stand, having the full armor of God on, and to stand on the word of God, the rock of the word, the unmovable kingdom, the unshakable kingdom. You and I have been called to something, dear friends. Listen, we live in a vain world, said the great preacher in Ecclesiastes. He said that everything in this world is a vanity, vanity, vanity. And there seemed to have been no purpose under the sun. And yet in the new covenant, God has an eternal purpose. And I want to talk a little bit about that right now. And I want to just look at the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And may God bless you this morning as you hear the word of the Lord. It says in verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." Now, before I go any further, I want to show you something, okay? I want to just quickly show you something. I'm going to open up my Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and 9, okay? And I don't know the last time you've been in Ecclesiastes. You're probably going, what is the page number on Ecclesiastes? Man, oh, man. Well, it's actually, if I'm not mistaken, it is right after the book of Proverbs, okay? So right after the book of Proverbs is the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, I want to just go there for just one moment, and then I'm going to show you something else. So let me just read, and then we'll get back to Ephesians. And believe me, this is for somebody today, okay? So praise God for the one. And what we're going to read, let me throw these little guys on here real quick. And here's what it says, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1. "Who is the wise man and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God, be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, What doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Because, listen now, to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him, for he knows not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither has he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this I have seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man rules over another to his own hurt." Now, if you're like me, and I hope not, but in the spiritual sense of things, I get very depressed when I read these words, because there's no, I mean, just listen to this, but don't get depressed, okay? Because there's another side to the story. Now, in Ecclesiastes 8:10, "So I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they hadn't so done. This is also vanity, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, now that you think about Hillary Clinton going to jail for wiping things clean, right? Well, it's not there, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. In other words, here, let's go beyond Hillary. Let's go to a place of, because San Francisco is doing what they're doing, and they're not having an immediate sentence upon them like a massive earthquake. It's been around for a long time. They just continue to do evil. They say God has forsaken the earth. God doesn't see. Well, verse 12 goes on to say, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. So in other words, delay makes people think they're okay. All right. Now in verse 13, but it shall not be well with the wicked, and neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he fears not before God. Verse 14, there is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Then I commended mirth, because a man has no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide him with him of his labor the days of his life, which God gives him under the sun. So just eat, drink, be merry, right? For tomorrow we die. Verse 16, when I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it, like our scientists today, yet he shall not find it. Yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. Now, moving forward, chapter 9, verse 1, for all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knows either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Boy, you think about that, and that's kind of what the Sadducees believe, that there is no resurrection, right? There is no purpose. There's nothing. You have nothing. Your love, your hate, nothing exists, and that sounds depressing. What's the point? Where's the purpose, right? Well, verse 7 goes on to say, go your way, eat your bread with joy, drink your wine with a merry heart, for God now accepts your works. Let your garments be always white, and let your head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of your life of your vanity, which he has given thee under the sun all the days of your vanity. For that is your portion in this life, and in your labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work nor device nor knowledge nor wisdom in the grave whither you're going. So I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. For man also knows not his time. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it fails or falls suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and a few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that rules among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Now, when I was reading that, I thought, wow, that's really sad. But then I went over to Acts chapter 19 or Acts chapter 18. I just kind of flipped over there, and I want to just read a few verses in Acts chapter 19, verse 20. It says, when they desired him to tarry longer with them, speaking of the Apostle Paul, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must, listen to the Apostle Paul's heart, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And then earlier in verse chapter 18, it just simply says in verse 10, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. My point is this, just for a moment before we go to Ephesians. My point is this. In the book of Ecclesiastes, there's just no hope in death. I mean, the life they're living, what was it? Just eat, drink, and be merry. You know, this is what you get. There's nothing new under the sun. You know, the one event's going to happen to everybody, and when it does, the memory is just perished. It's gone. You know, that seemed to be the wisdom of those days, right? But there's a greater wisdom than Solomon, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ who brings the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. So that we have a hope, even with those that have died already, that they are going to be resurrected if they believed in Jesus Christ. God is going to bring them with him. We know that. And if we are to die, we know that what we're doing on the earth is going to matter because our faith in Jesus Christ is not for here and now. It is an eternal purpose. And I want to get into that. But I want you to notice while Solomon is going through life as the richest man and the most wise man on the face of the earth, he's caught into vanity and, you know, it's depression for him. Here is the man called Saul who was turned into Paul who met Jesus Christ. His life is full of purpose. He says, I've got to get to Jerusalem for the feast. I've got to move over here. I've got to go visit. And you go to verse, for example, 23 in Acts chapter 19, and it says, and after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order to strengthen the disciples. He was going out to strengthen the disciples. In other words, you look at Paul's life, and it was full of purpose. It had meaning and value, and it wasn't just for this life. Paul knew the resurrection. He knew that the resurrection was not just an event, that Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And so Paul knew the eternal life that was in Christ, and he actually wrote about it. And here's where we get to Ephesians chapter 3. So you could, people can live like there's never going to be any hope in the future after death, and they could think that a living dog is better than a dead lion. You know, you could live like a dog, just at least, you know, you're breathing. But you know what? Praise God, life is more than that. Hallelujah. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Stay with me. Verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now. See, did you hear that? Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Solomon didn't have this wisdom. He didn't have it. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, okay, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. What is that promise? Of the Holy Spirit, which is the eternal Spirit of God. He's introducing eternal life to the Jew and the Gentile, that they would all be one. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. An eternal purpose? According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus? Well, that word purpose is prothesis. Prothesis. And it means a setting forth of a thing. A setting forth. An intention. It literally talks about the showbread as exposed before God. So here we have something that has been set forth. It's the eternal setting forth. And what is that eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord? Verse 12 goes on to say this, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, verse 14, Paul says, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now listen, some of you are listening going, yeah, but what about Iran? What about, you know, the obliteration of Iran? And what about, you know, we're the cyber war that's going on? Can't we talk about that? Yes. But I want you to know that what I'm telling you right now extends far beyond what's going on with Iran. And what's going on with Iran is important because it's Bible prophecy. But I want you to know that there's an eternal purpose that is in Christ Jesus that has everything to do with you right now. And listen to this. Paul's so overwhelmed by the eternal purpose of eternal life and the gathering together of the Jew and the Gentile, the human race, into a new creation species, that he says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, beloved, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. Can you imagine your life being filled with all the fullness of God? And then Paul ends this word here in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know, the thing that really captures my attention this morning, thank God, man, I don't even know how to say it. And I just want to encourage everybody out there, just begin to thank God. Just begin to worship God. It doesn't matter where you work, if you have, you don't have, if you're rich, you're poor, you're Jew, you're Gentile. Really, in Christ Jesus, none of that matters. Right now, the best thing that every one of us can do in the world in which we live, and it was the original intention of God, is to worship him. Worship him. Why? God has an eternal purpose, a prothesis, a setting forth. In other words, from the very beginning of time, God had this thing all mapped out, but it was not revealed to other dispensations or ages. And obviously, by the writings of the wisest man in the world, Solomon, it wasn't revealed to him by the Spirit yet either. In other words, he was wise on the earth, but there were some things concealed that were not revealed until the Messiah came, one that is wiser than Solomon. And the revelation that was brought forth was the eternal purpose of God that for you and I and all who place their faith and trust in Messiah Yeshua, in Jesus Christ, and even those that have died in the past not knowing there would be a resurrection. Now think about this. You and I know there's going to be a resurrection. You and I know that we're going to stand before God. You and I know we're going to give an account to for our lives. You and I know there's going to be rewards. You and I know that some are going to rule over 5 cities and 10 cities. Some are going to get, 10 mina and 5 mina. We know that the rewards are coming. We know that our life on earth is purposeful, and that there is the resurrection, that we are going to be held accountable. We are going to be given the great gifts of God. We know. Solomon's day, they didn't know, but still how they chose to live by the Spirit of God, they knew the difference between right and wrong, but because of the blindness of their heart, they chose to do evil, and they just kept doing it, and they didn't see any immediate reward, so they thought they were cool with it. But there will be a resurrection of all, because God has put it in the heart of every man. His law has been written on their heart. They know what is right and what is wrong, what is good is what is evil. They know. Everybody knows. They just didn't know that they were going to resurrect to give an account for what they've done. Okay? But we do know. And you and I have the new covenant and the understanding that, we don't want to go to hell. We don't want to go into the lake of fire. We don't want to go into death. We don't want to go into everlasting damnation. We don't want the smoke of our torment to rise up forever and ever. We don't want to be without hope in the world to come. We don't want to be in outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't want to be there. And the Word of God tells us that does exist, and He shows us the way not to go there by doing what we know is right. And if we just were so stupid or blinded in our hearts, God gave us the Bible to just kind of confirm what's already in us. We know the way to go. Jesus Christ gave us the prescription, and He showed us the path into everlasting life, and He is the way, the truth, and the life. And for us to live like meaningless people or vain people that have no hope is ridiculous. So my call today to everybody is wake up and serve the Lord. Worship the God of heaven and do what is in the Word of God, and whatever God puts in your heart to do, do it with all your might. Do it with all your strength. Live on purpose. Stop giving over to, I don't have enough energy, I'm tired, I'm worn out, I'm not feeling. Start worshiping God, and I guarantee you the fog will clear, the path will appear, and you'll be walking in the right direction. And if you've been going in the wrong direction, God will reveal that to you too, and He'll get you going in the right direction. So let's get up. Time is short. Our lives are passing like a vapor, and God forbid we should be living like eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. No, no, no. Get up and serve the Lord. Get the oil. Get the light. Get the wind of the Spirit. Get the delight. Get the fire. Get the passion. Come on, wise virgins. Get it all ready. Move, live, love, light. Pass it on. Show it forth. It is late. It is very, very late. And your life has been granted to you by God. And in Christ Jesus that's dwelling in your heart, there is the eternal Spirit of God. You have more life in you than you understand. You have more healing in you than you understand. You have more wisdom in you than you understand. But may our eyes be open to the revelation of what God has put within us. And God has not only put stuff in us, He put Himself in us. That's why Paul said that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you know you could be a very wealthy person worth trillions of dollars, but until your understanding is open to that reality, you're a poor man, right? So you've got it. You've got the eternal riches, the eternal treasure. You have more treasure on the inside of you, the treasure of Christ. And this is where you must live out from. Good morning, Patricia Joy. How are you this morning?
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt that wonderful.
No interruption.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was going well. Hi.
I just feel an inspiration this morning. Just
I can
to
hear
tell
it.
People to get up. Let's
yeah,
go.
We have to do it. We have to do it. And the times we're in and all the gray skies, we have to know how to get up and be happy, no matter what the circumstance. God has given us a way. You know, Philippians 3:10 says this, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Do we know that? Do we understand the Christian lives? A new life is given to us, an eternal life, but that we understand that it takes death first before we resurrect in this life. It is exciting. And once we get a hold of it, my goodness, knowing the power of his resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's not just in the past situation, it's for us now. But there is something we must understand, that to know the power of his resurrection, we have to die to our old nature. And then when that happens, we die, we resurrect.
Well, amen to that. But I want to go back to Proverbs 29:18, okay? Because we're talking to somebody out there today that needs to understand beyond their momentary affliction. Maybe you've been diagnosed with cancer. Maybe you are, you know, you're vexed by some spiritual warfare. Maybe you've just received a bad report. Maybe there's something going on in your marriage. Maybe there's something happening with your family, your kids, your relatives. Maybe there's, you know, just the weight of the demonic coming around your soul to bury you in gloom and doom, right? Now, there people always talk about gloom and doom, about things out there. No, a lot of people have gloom and doom in their own minds, and preaching the word of God is not gloom and doom, and we don't need all that stuff. So I can't go there, but Proverbs 29:18 says this: where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. So where there is no vision, well, the word vision there is the kazon, or the kazon, or the kazon. It's like a calzone if you put an L in it. And for the Italians, they love calzones. But anyways, this is a K-zone. Now, the word K-zone literally means sight. So without sight, mentally, mental sight, without a dream, without a revelation, without an oracle, that's what the word vision means, okay? The divine vision in the deeper root, a vision that is given. In other words, a divine revelation. A divine revelation. Without a divine revelation, the people perish. Now, what greater divine revelation has there been given to mankind than the revelation of the resurrection and eternal life? You are going to live your life, and my life on this earth is a vapor. It passes like a shadow, according to Ecclesiastes again. Like a shadow it's going, like a vapor it's going. But because of our faith and our holding on to Jesus Christ and allowing him to be absorbed into our every fabric, we can trust and have hope that we have been granted eternal access into the kingdom of heaven, and that we will be alive forever in God from age to age, from aeon to aeon. Patricia, it doesn't get any better than that.
No, it doesn't. And knowing the power of Jesus's resurrection gives us hope in a brand new life. No longer live in the shadows of the past, the pain we had, the bitterness within our heart, but instead in the light of a future, a new future, and it's with God. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, it is with God. And what somebody needs to hear right now, you know, we talk constantly in this ministry about taking up your cross, dying daily. You know, we talk about going through the narrow pathway. We talk about the wise virgins. We talk about those who were saved and lost their salvation. We talk about, you know, the name being blotted out of the book of life. Why do we do that? Because it's in the word. It's important. But we also need to clarify that your personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ can resurrect you from any situation in your life right now. It is not based upon your performance. It is not based upon how good or bad you are. You most likely will learn a lesson by what you're going through, but you need to know that the God of the breakthrough is bringing you through so that you can live on purpose the rest of the days of your life, and to declare the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ as you go.
Yes, absolutely, Vincent. You're talking about the resurrection power of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians 3:1, it tells us that this power raises us up with Jesus. In Ephesians 2:5-6 tells us that though and through this power, we are made alive. We are quickened. made alive with resurrection power. This means we have real life and real ability. And then in Romans 6:4, it tells us that we are raised to live in a new manner, not the way we used to be. There is a new power and ability to live differently than we have previously lived before. And we have been raised up and energized by the power of the living God through the Holy Spirit.
Patricia, if one person through this radio ministry, if one person gets delivered, if one person gets saved, and that causes all of the angels of heaven to rejoice, if one person gets it and will get up and not die, they will say, I shall live and not die and declare the glory of God, then everything we've done, every single day that we've done it, has meaning and value. And I just want you to know, sometimes you got to go and dig and dig and dig and dig and dig and work and labor for years before you ever strike the gold mine, before you find the diamond in the rough, before you find the treasure. You got to keep on digging. When it looks like there's nothing there, you got to keep on digging. When it doesn't look like you're being rewarded, it doesn't look like you're being respected, when it doesn't look like things are working out, you still have to do it. You keep going. If it's your vision and you believe that there's meaning to what you're doing, then you keep on doing it with all your might, and you do it with an eternal purpose, that you have value, that you're doing what you've been called to do. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, it is time to live like you've never lived before, in the double portion, in the abundant life that Jesus Christ called you to, which is not more stuff. It's about quality. It's about getting up and speaking and using your voice, laying on your hands on somebody sick, walking in faith, walking in the demonstration of the power of the kingdom of God. It is time to wake up from that bed of depression. It says it like this: arise and shine from that bed of depression, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen on the inside of you.
Just abide in God and surrender to that power you're talking about. You're talking about the resurrection power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we abide, as Pastor Vincent said, keep going, allow him to change you, allow him to mold you into the person you've always wanted to be. And we all want that change, and be obedient and willing. God begins to change you. All you have to do is be willing. And Galatians 2:20 tells us that this is Christ's work. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, it is. And I've just seen people right now stop trying to dress up with the world. Stop trying to put on the fashion of this world, for it is passing away. Stop trying to wear their clothes and to live the way the world lives. It looks so good. I'm telling you, behind the scenes, it's not. Rather, put on the garments of holiness. Put on the garments of righteousness. Put on the garments of praise. Put on the garments of worship. Be a worshiper of God in this earth. Don't worry about who's on your left, who's on your right, who's ahead of you or behind you. Keep your focus above you on Jesus Christ. Set your mind on things above. And Patricia, I don't know how I got on this level up here, and I need to start coming down a little bit. I feel like I'm just...
I don't think you have to come down. Why don't you sail to the height?
Oh, well, all right, let's
sail to
the height.
Yes, from glory to glory.
All right, let's go.
Nothing wrong with that.
All right.
And there are times when we are called to stand up for Jesus and his truth, and that's what we're called to do now. And I think every Christian needs to truly consider this, not only with their own hearts, but with all they speak to, and especially their family members.
Well, amen to that. And what I just hearing right now by the Holy Spirit is that the words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. And if somebody is getting filled with life by this word today, then it's just the Holy Spirit has totally taken over the oracle, and the Holy Spirit is speaking the words of God into your spirit directly to quicken you, to heal you, to deliver you, to set you free, to raise you up, to set your mind in order, to get the confusion out of your mind, and the darkness must go in the name of Jesus. And the light of the S-O-N is to shine light rays of glory to burst open in your spirit the eternal purpose of God. And the color of the kingdom is coming back into your consciousness, that the drab, dry, yucky, gray clouds are dispersing from you. Let them go where they need to go, but not on you. You've been bought with a price, bought with the blood. You are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are not your own. God owns you. He wants to fill your world with the color of the kingdom. Hallelujah.
Amen. And Jesus has the power to pull us out of the grave and raise us up. Resurrection. Now, not in the great by and by when he comes for us. Yes, then, but more so even as we live each day and give us the life we cannot imagine on our own. We can't imagine this kind of life, but it's there for us. And if we are going to suffer, let us suffer for the sake of righteousness, not because we feel sorry for ourselves or we are deprived in any way.
Well, amen. You're talking about not an event, but a person. For Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the life-giving spirit. Remember, the two men, Adam was made a living soul. Christ Jesus was a life-giving spirit. Do you know the difference between an animated living soul and a life-giving spirit? Well, Yeshua came to this earth as a life-giving spirit. He was the first of his species. Listen to me. Yes, he took on the robes of humanity, but within him there was a new species. He's a life-giving spirit, and he came to the world of fallen Adam, living souls that had died spiritually, and that life-giving spirit of the first man from heaven walked among humanity 2,000 years ago, and everywhere he went, he brought life because he's a life-giving spirit. But now everybody that's been born again into Christ, we have become a life-giving spirit. We have the knowledge, the demonstration, the kingdom, the power, the anointing. The same spirit that was in Christ Jesus is now dwelling in those who have received it by faith and are walking in the fullness. Now, Patricia, we're a new species of mankind on this earth.
Amen. We are. And the resurrection of our Lord makes it possible for us to live a victorious life of love, joy, and peace. Do you have that? Do you have the joy and love and peace that we have called to be given? And because that means that if we have love, joy, and peace, we are in the kingdom of God. We're in the power of that kingdom. We live in that kingdom because that is the definition of it. Love, joy, and peace. And the resurrection power in our life causes us to live in that manner.
Amen. And this is the time to live in the abundance and the fullness that Christ has given to us to allow us on this earth what to have. Under the Old Testament, under Solomon's day, they were allowed to eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow you die. That was what God gave them. We have such a higher portion. And I want to talk about the circus that's going on the Democratic platform of the people that are running for president. I mean, there's nobody on the left, not even Sleepy Joe. There's nobody on the left that is going to win against Donald J. Trump in this upcoming election. And that's a problem, because they can't afford him to be there again. So the nail that stands up is the one that normally gets hammered down. And you need to be praying for Donald J. Trump. You need to know that Iran and the United States are now in a word war. There is already cyber attacks going on against Iran from the United States. And ladies and gentlemen, we have been declaring that the summer of violence will come in 2019. And I believe that you're beginning to witness what is coming. The winds are blowing. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, let alone, you know, what the next week is going to bring, or the next month is going to bring, or 2 months. We just know that we have entered into summer, and we've seen some violent storms already break out in the United States of America. And now we're dealing with Iran. The president says that they will be obliterated if they want to move in that direction. But is there something that we're not seeing? You know, you've got to be awakened and aware of what's happening, and be very, very careful. Be very, very careful because our corrupt condition as Americans does not afford the standby with the Almighty God who could take anybody down. You could be the greatest nation on the face of the earth with the most sophisticated weapons and military personnel in the world, with the most genius FBI, CIA, security and all that. But you could lose the battle by a smaller enemy just because your condition of heart is so wicked and corrupt.
And so we don't have to be under any circumstance, because in Christ we are over every circumstance. We are overcomers, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And that's what we're fighting. We're fighting the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of this world, not the kingdom of God. It's within us, the kingdom of God, but we are fighting the kingdom of this world.
And you know what's interesting, Patricia? You just, as you're talking, I just saw how people try to save their lives. Jesus said, if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you'll lose it, you'll keep it for life eternal, right?
Yep.
So you know how people try to save their lives? Man knows intrinsically that he is a vapor. He's a breath away. He knows that. There's like this intelligence that you're not going on forever. You could die tomorrow. Anybody could be taken out, right? So what man tries to do is he's trying to extend his vapor. But you know, in Christ Jesus, you don't have to do that. You already have the eternal vapor of life.
Amen.
You have the eternal essence of life.
That's right.
You don't have to save your life, because this physical body is only built to go so far. But in the resurrection, it'll be a new body. In the coming of the Lord, where we're alive and remaining, will be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. We're getting brand new bodies. So live your life. Let it burn out. Pour yourself out in worship unto God.
Well, the Holy Spirit, if we ask him, he already is giving us the resurrected life. But we must understand and live in this resurrected life. We can do so by receiving it. And what we have to do is yield to the Holy Spirit in all our everyday challenges of life, so that we may understand and know how to overcome the bigger challenges. That's where we become overcomers. And we do it by the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, if we receive it by the Holy Spirit and in the Holy Spirit.
You know, one of the things that I just read that complements what you just said, back in Ecclesiastes, where he said, you know, it's not the skillful man that got him rich. It's not the wise man that got him rich, but it's chance and happen and chance that happens to all people. And, you know, some people are born on the wrong side of the tracks. In other words, some people are just born with a silver spoon in their mouth. They didn't really have wisdom or skill to get their wealth and so on. But I want to tell somebody out there, wealth is about to come into your direction, and it's going to be on purpose. And it's not going to be because of anything other than your own personal obedience to honor God with your substance. You have been honoring God. You've been serving the Lord with your wealth. You've been giving your wealth away faithfully in tithes and offerings and giving. You've been doing that. And God's saying, you're getting ready to get so wealthy that it's going to be on purpose. When it comes, it's going to be on purpose, and God is going to cause it to happen to you, not because of your skill or your wisdom. They always talk about God gives wisdom to get wealth. That's a whole different scenario than money. God's going to give you financial wealth because he knows you're a giver. I'm telling you, somebody's going to get wealthy in the very near, I mean, it could happen today. Somebody's probably listening right now saying, man, that just happened to me. I don't know how it happened. It just happened. But it's because of your faithfulness to God. And you know, we're not prosperity preachers in this sense, but I just really sense that God, while Iran and the U.S. and all these things going on in the world are going to happen, God's kingdom is moving and functioning, and it does require some things. But you're not living for that. You're not living to make money. Your life hasn't been about how can I get money and wealth and greed and corrupt. That's not you. You've just been faithful with a little, and God is going to give you much. And in the world to come, he's going to give you cities to rule and reign over. Somebody's going to get wealthy in the very near future that's listening to this broadcast right now.
I'll receive it.
I hope it's you.
I hope it's me too. And anyone else.
Yeah, what the heck? Why not?
I know those words aren't just coming in flippantly. They are by the Spirit of the living God, or you wouldn't have come up in that manner. And I've watched this and seen this in the past. So we have to stop trying to produce our own life And what we have to do is let the Holy Spirit produce this life that we need in us. We have to get off the roller coaster and begin experiencing constantly the joy, the peace, the power of the resurrected life. We have to start practicing yielding to the Holy Spirit in the everyday challenges of life so that we can soar through the bigger challenges and simply confess that we don't know everything and say, Holy Spirit, move in me, quicken me to understand and to know what's going on in every situation in truth, so I may overcome every situation in truth. And by doing so, we live the resurrected life.
Amen. Amen. Our minds are set on things above. You know, in Ecclesiastes, I read it again this morning, and it was that the poor man's wisdom is despised, and yet the poor man had a wisdom that delivered an entire city from a great king. And I want every single person out there to know right now that Jesus Christ is our wisdom. And if we have Christ in us, we have the wisdom that is better than any wisdom of anybody in D.C., anybody in any in United Nations. I'm telling you that you may be looked upon by the world as a poor man or a poor woman, but you have the wisdom of God in you. You have the greater wisdom. It's despised by the world because who wants the wisdom of Christ in this world, this God-forsaken, demonic, Luciferian world that's being developed around us? They don't like the wisdom of Christ, but you've got it. And in the kingdom of God, your wisdom is not going to serve the world. Your wisdom is going to serve the body of Christ in the days that lie ahead and maybe is already doing so right now.
Oh, amen. I couldn't agree with you more. And the wisdom that is given to us of Jesus Christ is given to us because we received Jesus Christ into our heart. The seed has been planted and wisdom has come forth. If you only grab hold of it, it's there. And if we meditate on the Word of God to assure ourselves that God is in control and has our back, and we can, yes, you have a word? Okay, and we could allow him to control us because he is trustworthy. His word is trustworthy. He is Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and he gives it to us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give us all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we need because the seed of Christ, who is the Word of God, is in us, and it is opening us. It's opening up through the reigning of the Holy Spirit upon us. We are becoming resurrected people, not in the great by and by, but right now we are becoming resurrected people with the victory that is necessary. We have to always rejoice and know who we are.
You know, Patricia, when we go to our church services, every once in a while, there'll be a move like what's happening right now, and the Spirit of God will call people to rise up and just praise and worship, and 95% of the people will begin to praise God, will break out into a service, and there's always those one or two individuals that they won't move their lips, they just won't get up, and they won't begin to shout out and praise God.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know, because I honestly don't know.
Are they resisting the Holy Spirit?
They are, to a degree, resisting the Holy Spirit. Like right now, I know that people need to be praising God and shouting right now where you are. You need to shout and praise and worship God out of your depression. You need to shout and worship and praise God right now out of your sickness, out of that problem you're having with your spouse or your family. I'm telling you right now, you need to exude the life of Christ in you and begin to worship God. Now, I know that those who do it are going to get set free. And yet the unfortunate reality, I've seen people, they won't budge. They'll sit there, they won't move, and they'll say, like one religious man used to do years ago, drive me crazy, well, I'm worshiping God on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the Spirit of God is not saying to worship him on the inside. He said, let it out.
Yes.
Let out a shout.
Pride would make it stay
yes,
in.
Yes, that filthy spirit of pride, you ugly, filthy thing. Get
Amen.
Out, you spirit of pride
Amen.
From the people of
I
God.
Rebuke you.
Worship the Lord Jesus where you are right now by a word of knowledge, and you'll be set free.
Ugly, ugly spirit, because it's the same spirit that Jesus Christ overcame on the cross, because Satan is the spirit of pride. And so if that man is doing it, the spirit of the devil is in him, keeping him in bondage. Could I pray a prayer right now? Is that all right?
Please do so.
Let's pray.
All right.
All together, all who are listening, please. Lord, I confess that I have tried to live the Christian life in my own strength, and I have failed. Thank you for forgiving me of living independent of you. I surrender the control of my life to you. I know that you love me, and I can trust you with this precious possession. Live your resurrected life in me, that I may live the abundant life you purchased for me. I love you and I thank you. In Yeshua's name, in Jesus Christ's name. If you pray that prayer with me, you are already being set free.
Hallelujah.
The Spirit of the living God is giving you that resurrection power. It is starting to surge through you from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. You're beginning to move upward and onward. You are becoming that which you have been desiring to be, the overcomer, overcoming sin, the world, and the devil. God promised this to us. He gave us this power in the Holy Spirit. If you have received Jesus Christ into your heart, you have the right now to receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to give you this resurrection power right now. You don't have to wait for the by and by. And when you're physically lifted up and resurrected for eternity, you could begin eternity now and then be ready for the fullness of it in the Lord Jesus Christ coming. Come on, stand with us, believe with us, overcome with us. God is looking for an army. He is looking for a remnant people who are the overcomers. He is looking for those who are filled with the resurrection power, and how easily it's going to be lifted up in from glory to glory to glory into the realm of the eternal. And we are going there very soon.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the scripture to back up what we're saying, because some people say, well, I'm not going to let any man control me by telling me to get up and worship. I've got very little energy and I can't do that. No, I'm not controlled by men. I totally agree with that. But there are times when the Spirit of God says to do something and there's a reason for it. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it says in verse 20, they rose early in the morning, went forth unto the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Ladies and gentlemen, when you praise the Lord, when the Holy Spirit says to praise the Lord, when there's a word of knowledge to praise the Lord, when the word of God says, believe his prophets and you will prosper, praise the Lord, then do it. Do it with all your might. I know a man that most people, you know, I don't know what most people think, but I know a man, when I say things like this, his shout gets louder than Goliath. He'll worship God and say hallelujah. And people that are religious will go, ooh, that's a little funny, you know. Yeah, well, that man will have more of a reward in heaven than the man on earth that thought it was a foolish thing to do. So I want to tell you again, get up today, worship the living God, praise the living God, and say to yourself, I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what they have to say. I don't care if they never come around me again. I don't care if they ever listen to me again. I'm going to get up and I'm going to praise the Lord. It's the right thing to do. And I'm going to win this race. I've already won. I already have the victory. I've already won the battle. We've got 1 minute left. Patricia Joy, before your roundtable discussion, your final word.
Yes, yes, yes. We now have in our spirits the life of Christ. We already have resurrection life within our spirits, life that has already conquered death. That power has been given to us. And this life in Christ has destroyed and will destroy death itself. That's why in his coming, we are just going to be brought up. The death that has conquered no longer can. Come on, body of Christ, move in this with us.
Amen. And death is moving throughout the earth. It's going to move stronger than ever before. Right now on omegaradio.org, Patricia Joy Xavier will be leading a roundtable discussion where some very wise, wonderful people are going to be talking about particular things. You want to get there right now in the kingdom. And then all day long, 24/7, right here on omegaradio.org, you're going to hear some of the best stuff out there. Till we meet again tomorrow, I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. I've been joined with my beloved wife, Patricia Joy. We salute you in the Lord. Shalom and God bless.